as the chairperson of this committee for now, while we're waiting for the powers that be to formally inform us to proceed in nominating the person going to chair. Welcome, Prof, and the whole team and everybody. Maybe before we proceed, because the purpose of today's meeting is to listen to a submission from the National House in terms of the two bills, and again to check provinces who had to check down delegates who managed to brief their provinces. I'm happy to announce that there are provinces that had already sent their negotiating mandates. But I'm aware again that there are provinces that just got briefings a few days ago or a week ago. Because both bills are Section 76, we are entitled to allow provinces to have their 4-week or 6-week cycle. Because the first briefing took place on the 3rd of September, I know the members who had already briefed their province. The department, I'm told, they played a major role in assisting some of the members in briefing provinces. Well done to your department for being so proactive. Can I check with colleagues as to who had already briefed their province? Honourable Worth has done that already. Honourable Musege has done that already. Honourable Nduli, not yet. So.
No, it's the department.
Okay, they've done that already. Wonderful.
Myself also is the department.
Okay. Good. And yours truly already briefed my province. I've done that already, but last week Friday. So that means we will wait until the cycle is completed for us to pin provinces down to send their mandates. How then? Do you have essential leaders there?
Quite a lot, sir.
Only two. Northwest is already having mandates.
Chairperson, we'll be speaking on the corruption here. As you have said, that the chairperson, who was actually the former chairperson, was the person who could probably presented the same. I tried to get hold of our secretary to find out about the whether the province was briefed or not, vis-a-vis. But I would be probably pursuing this afternoon to find out exactly what is taking place so that I can report fully to you. Because I cannot say I did not go there because he was supposed to. It's not who, whether the mandate is there. If this is not done, then I'll have to prioritize this and see and get that briefing. Thank you, sir.
Maybe let me check with my office as to whether they have any information of about Gauteng in particular. Oh yeah, not yet. I think you can proceed with the visa arrangements. Yeah, and the department, they're always available to can assist whenever we need them. Honourable what?
Jay, from the province's the best rugby team and also involved in the new political party, I've already got the mandate here with me from the... They had public hearings, and I see there's all sorts of issues were raised there, but they say they're not relevant to the actual bill. So I see they have passed it unanimously, two of the three bills. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I wonder the rugby winning province, because we have been walloped not so long ago. We have been walloped, man, by who beat the cheetahs last weekend?
The Cheetahs hopefully will beat the Blue Bulls on Saturday.
Please, avail yourself next week, Honourable Wade, because I'll ask you but to tell the score next week, I know. Yeah, having said that, maybe let me check with the department. Is there something you want to address us on before I give a space to the chairperson of the National House to talk to us? Maybe, before that, I must formalize this. This one I had to formalize it. Members of this committee, it's the Honorable Nduli over there from KwaZulu-Natal. Thank you very much, Pemba. Honorable Mzizi from Gauteng. Then Honorable Museki from Northwest. Honorable Nyanda from Mpumalanga. Honorable Manyosi from Eastern Cape. Honorable Leroux from Eastern Cape. Honorable West from Hark Free State. Dr. Van Heerden, the Honorable from Free State. And yours truly, of course, from the peaceful province of Limpopo. For those whom I
thank, Honorable Gogo from the Eastern Cape.
Oh.
With the money.
Chief, we should have informed you before time, because I have noticed our colleague was there even in the previous meeting. No, colleagues, I've been reluctant to tell you this, but I think let me formalize it. For information, Umpemba Sompisi, it's not just a commoner, he's from a royal family. Because his father is a direct younger brother to the Khoshi who is ruling in that area. So all along I've been calling him this if we're going to come on. I'll wash my words now, Sompisi. My apologies all along for just taking you as one of those loyal subjects. You're not just a loyal subject, you are a Osimogwai. Thanks, Chief. Prof, who is here? Who is in your team before I recognize the chairperson of the House to introduce his team? Who is you from your side?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable members. From TPLG, we have the following. Myself, Honorable Chairperson. On my left, we have Nati, Mr. Nati Mpongose. Then on his left we have Johan Mering. Then we have our lawyer, the legal person, Mr. Fanny Low, in the department. Those are the people from the department. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Can I recognize Khoshi Aga Khoshi Kutama to introduce your team, Morena?
Thank you. Acting Chair, Khoshi Mukwela. With me, I've got Inkosi Mavundla. Inkosi Mavundla is representing KZN House of Traditional Leaders. And also Advocate Maifadi. He's a Parliamentary Officer of the National House. Is always here in Parliament trying to arrange things for Amakhosi. And I'm Khosi Kutama, Chairperson of the House. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Prof.
Sorry, with your permission again, Honorable Chairperson. We also have in our midst people who help us, state law advisors at the back there, who are also with us because they work with us on these bills.
Thank you very much. Without any waste of time, as I said, is there anything you want to address us on, Prof, before I recognize the Chairperson of the House?
Thank you, Chairperson. Not really, except just to, through you, Chairperson, express our appreciation to the provinces for the invitations that were extended to us as a department to come and interact with them, explain the bills. Various provinces did really invite us and we participated fruitfully, and we really appreciated that interaction that went on there, and so we feel then that through you and through members of the NCOP
because you have direct link with the provinces. Please extend on our behalf the our appreciation as government for this kind of interest that was shown about the provinces and the bills and what we're trying to do. And the interaction that took place there, some of which is going to be reflected in the presentations, hopefully, by the provinces. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Prof. Can I now hand over to Hoshi Kutama to address the committee?
Thank you, Honorable Acting Chairperson, Hoshi Mukweno, and the all honorable members of parliament, or particularly NCOP, who are present here today. It is indeed an honor for us as the National House of Traditional Leaders to be accorded this opportunity to come and re-emphasize the position which we have already tabled before parliament previously, and of which we noted from the bill itself that most of the issues which we presented before parliament, or before the portfolio committee of parliament, were not considered, and also, Chairperson, this opportunity which you have given us to come and make this presentation, it is important to us because we also wanted to reflect on certain issues which, as Africans, we feel we need to revert to in order to accommodate our cultures, customs, and traditions. And also the question of considering the usage of our languages, particularly the terminologies which are used in defining certain terms in the bill and also in the previous act which we had. We do admit that when the previous act was put in place, it was on agreement with traditional leaders, but we feel that as people who are running the institution, it is important for us to highlight certain issues which we feel, if we don't highlight them, the institution, our cultures, customs, and traditions and languages will go down and will never be seen again in this country of ours, and particularly this beautiful country of ours. And by so saying, Chairperson, we are not saying democracy should not prevail. We are saying together with democracy, our issues, our identities, because we identify ourselves with those issues, we are saying they must also take it they must also be taken on board in order for our poor people in the rural area to be able to identify with those issues which are very, very close to their hearts. Chairperson, our presentation was forwarded to the NCOP. I think you do have copies of the document. It's the three documents. Now, the first document is talking about the comments by the National House on the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Amendment Bill, and the other one is about the National House Bill. And there's another document which was also sent to you, but which was submitted to Parliament, to the Portfolio Committee of Parliament. of which there are two, there are some pages which are attached to that document, and those documents, the three pages which are attached there, were just sent there for information to the NCOP. But the crux of the matter here, Chairperson, I think we'll start with the National House Act, where Chairperson, we have got three areas which are very, very, very close to our heart as an institution, and we are saying if Parliament, if NCOP does not take these things on board, then we will be doing exactly what I said at the beginning, that of doing away with this institution, our cultures, customs and traditions and languages. And all these things, if you can check, Chairperson, are protected by the constitution of this country. The first thing which I want to highlight, Chairperson, when I cited the question of the usage of our terminologies, it is because of the usage of the terminologies which are of European in nature, like a headman. Let me just give, for example, the term headman. The term headman, if you can check it in our languages, it's Induna, Gota, and in other languages they do have those terminologies. And if you check this headman, it's a person who is not a born somebody in that position. It's somebody who is appointed. In fact, headmen are appointees of amakhosi or mahoshi or inkosis, the way you may call it. And in terms of the new terminologies, we are saying they are appointees of senior traditional leaders. They are not born in those for those positions like senior traditional leaders or amakhosi themselves. Now, these are some of the reasons why we say no. We need to reflect on these things so that if we agree, we need to amend some of this or to remove some of these terminologies in our statutes. Because let's take, for example, when you talk of the House of Traditional Leaders, the National House of Traditional Leaders, who are you talking about in that house? Are you talking about the kings, the headmen, the senior traditional leaders who should be members of that house? And according to us, traditional leaders ourselves, we believe the house, the National House of Traditional Leaders, is the house which must be amended by amakhosi. And we are saying amakhosi represents even the kings, because if I'm a khosi from Venda, I know very well that I belong to a king in Venda, and if I'm a member of the National House, every session I must go back and report to the king, to my king. So there is no need for the king to be part of the National House or the Provincial House, because we are not, will not be doing justice to those institutions, that is the kingship, the queenship, and the let me put it like that, we will not be doing justice to those things if we now allowed the kings to be part of the National House. And even the question of the headman to be part of the National House. Let's take for example, a headman becomes a member of the National House, and we have to elect the chairperson of the National House, and the headman becomes first. And all other members are the senior traditional leaders, or Amakhosi. Are we saying that headman must head that house, Amakhosi? Is that isn't Fagit? So these are some of the issues, and I think if we allow this thing to continue like this, we will be doing injustice to our own institution, ourselves. We'll be killing it ourselves. And we should not go back and say, no, it is apartheid. It is not apartheid. It is us now, we've got power, we can change everything. So I think it is important that when it comes to terminologies, the question of Ingwenyama, who is a king, Ukwakani, who is a king, Inkosi, Kosi, Hoshikulu, all these languages, they do have their own way of calling these positions. So this is our point of departure. We are saying the question of terminologies, it is important. And if we want to cripple this institution and our cultures, customs and traditions, then let us perpetuate the way of using these, you know, Eurocentric type of terminologies. That is our call, Chairperson. And like I indicated, this question of the headman, for the headman to be part of the National House is completely against that. And I believe other provinces, in fact, most of the provinces, maybe with the exception of two provinces, which is Free State, and maybe I can't recall the other one, it's Free State, particular, are the ones who are arguing for the headmen. And we are saying no. And these are the cogent reasons we are giving why we are saying the National House can't accommodate headmen. We need to accommodate the senior traditional leaders in terms of the present language, and of which we are proposing that it must be, we must move away from that and use our own terminologies. We are saying headmen, no. And also, those who are called representatives of the kings, we are saying we are doing duplication, because the kings belong to the senior traditional leaders of Amakhosi belong to certain kings. So take for example in the Eastern Cape, there are a lot of kings under Ukumkani in Kaugeni, and some of them are members of the house. So why does the king had to take another person to go and represent him to the house while the traditional leaders are there? Our feeling is that those traditional leaders must be made to go and pay respect to the king, and also to report to the king, and not the other way around. And that is the question which is surrounding the headman, Chairperson. Now, the second question which the National House is not happy about, it is the question of the autonomy of the House, of which the department is also arguing. And we are saying we want this House to be independent. The House must be independent. The House must not be influenced by any person to do certain things, or maybe deprived the right to do certain things which will benefit the community of this country. We are saying the House must be given the autonomy. The
autonomy in the sense that we've got chapter 9 institutions. Why don't we give it that thing? You know, once you give the house, the national house, that autonomy, you are saying traditionally that now the audit must come. The auditor general must come and audit us like any other person in the country. We must be audited because as we speak now, we don't even know the auditor general or even the audit because they audit these people and we don't know whether what they are auditing is correct or is not correct because we don't even know our budget. They just tell us that your budget this year is so much. Now, we can't plan properly. The reason why even the manner in which we present our report to Parliament to you, it is so sketchy and, you know, we have to wait for them to come and talk about finances. But while we are the ones who are using finances, we are saying give us our budget, we'll run it properly, and if there are corruptions, then they will be picked up by the audit. And this will also teach traditional leaders to be accountable and responsible with the property of the state. As we speak now, there's no one. They can't even quit us because we know nothing. We just do whatever we want. But our feeling is that we want to be accountable. We want to be responsible. And that will not only be done there at the National House. The provincial houses, they will also do the same. Our traditional councils will also do the same. As we speak now, you know, it's really very difficult. And one other thing, while still on the autonomy, it is the question of the staff. We do want our own staff the way we want it. But now you have to go and beg. Can we have the person, the manager in the office of the chairperson, who manage the office of the chairperson, who advise the chairperson? We don't have those things. If you can, maybe if you have checked about 2 weeks back, there was an advert about that position. We struggled to get that. And, you know, for us to plan our things properly, we feel it is important that we need to be given this autonomy. And for us to be accountable and responsible, we want to be responsible traditional leaders. We know we are responsible, but we want to be more than that by performing those work. And we will also be able to employ our own staff, including the CEO, who will be controlled by us. So the next item, which is also thorny to us, it is the question of one of the sections in the bill, section 21, paragraph B, which is talking about the house dissolving itself. You know, it is as if, you know, people met and said, no, maybe the house next year must dissolve itself. For what reason? Because this house is there to serve, to assist government to run the country. Why do you have it dissolving itself? This house, since its inception in 1997, there was no such clause. This clause is just surfacing now. It's coming up now. And we don't know the reason why. And we are saying, please, let us remove this clause. Let us remain with 21A. 21A, it says, the house after 5 years, it dissolves, new members comes in. There are good, you know, clauses in the bills, which talks about the removal of the chairperson, the deputy chairperson, if they are not performing, if they are involved in corruption and all those other things. Those are good clauses we want. But other clauses which, you know, sent a wrong message to the institution to say, no, maybe there's something which people are arranging and organizing, you know. We don't even know, because we just met this class the day we met the bill. And one other important thing, I think, is that the select committee must inform the department that whenever they do their things, they must first start with the house, sit down with the house, interrogate, discuss, you know, have all those things with the house, so that we agree. We are the people who know about this institution. And in terms of the present legislation, part of our mandate is to advise government, is to advise the president of the country, is to advise municipalities and all those other things. And if we are not consulted right at the beginning of the process, really we feel very much hurt about that. And we feel people have got some hidden agendas, you know, in whatever they will be doing. I think, Chairperson, I've covered the question of the who should be part of the National House, the question of the headman, the question of the terminologies, the African terminologies, which are very much crucial to restore our dignity as people. Also, the question of the autonomy, and also the question of the dissolution. I think regarding this one and these other things, you know, we had put in a number of things, but these are so new ones. We had put in under the long title. We had put in something under the long title, and that thing was it's still outstanding. It was not captured. It was not included in the bill. And also Section 2, the inclusion of that the house should be a public entity, like I was articulating under autonomy, is part of that. The Section 3, subsection 4, that is the question which deals with the gender representation. And we are saying as the National House, if you can check even the House now, we have got two members, two ladies who are members of Management Committee of the House. That is gender representativity. The House, the Management Committee of the House are six members, and two of them are women. We are doing our best, although part of it, you know, if we think deep about it, deep about it, you know, it becomes a difficult and a thorny issue. And I think it needs the heads of all South Africans to sit down and talk about these things, you know, when it comes to gender. We are the people who respect, you know, our women. We respect them, and we feel they must be respected. They must be given the respect they deserve. You know, I've been asked a lot of questions that traditional leaders, because of this question of gender, they don't even give women pieces of land to plow and do all those things. And I responded to one person that my mother, I know she had a piece of land even before she was married to Mushade. She had a piece of land, and that piece of land is still there. She's still using it. She was given before she was taken, and she's still using it. So, and in terms of our culture, you know, aunt in Venda culture, the aunt is the main person. You can't have a future leader without the aunt. She must tell you this is the future. And that is what we must respect as a nation. So this question of the, we are really trying our best to address. I think on this one, this National House Act, I've got a colleague here, Nkosi Mavunda, will just add a few things which I might have skipped.
Thank you, Chairperson Nkosi Kutama. Honorable Chairperson of the NSOP, Acting Chairperson of the NSOP, members of the NSOP present, and members of the Department of Provincial Local Government here. I thank the opportunity to add a little bit of what has been left behind by my Honorable Chairperson. First of all, before I comment on the bill itself, I must put before this House that we have been advocating for the consideration of Chapter 2 of the Constitution versus tradition. We are not against the contents of Chapter 2 of the Constitution, but that one must be interpreted also with the right to tradition and custom. With regard to the bill itself, in order to add just a rider to what my chairperson has said, I'll just go direct to the sections as per se. If you look at Section 3, Subsection 1, Paragraph A of the National House Bill, the Portfolio Committee inserted a proviso in that section, which we as a National House, we are of the view that it must be deleted. Because, as the chairperson has said, we are of the view that the National House must be formed by Amakosi, Amahoshi, Izinkosi only, not by Izinduna. So that provision is must be deleted because it is opening a can of worms. You also go to the very same section, Section 3, Subsection 4, at the bottom there, line number 50, it says must consist of women. We have a little bit of a problem there, because that is totally against the democratic election processes. In order to become a member of the National House, you must have been elected at a local level. There is no way that you can impose to Amakosi that they must elect a woman, unless otherwise you are violating the democratic processes. It depends whether Amakosi down there want you to go to the province, and then from the province, you are elected to go to the National House. There are houses where there is no single woman. Therefore, if that must is captured in that section, then it's a violation of democracy. Subsection 1, Paragraph A. These houses, as we know them, they are part-time institutions. They are not full-time institutions. What problem does it make to have a member of a house who is a member of the Municipal Council? To have a member of the Provincial Legislature to be a member of the House? Or to have a member of the Parliament to be a member of the House? Because these houses are part-time institutions. Unless otherwise a person maybe is elected into a permanent position. Therefore, we don't see any reason why members of such structures must be precluded from becoming members of the houses. You also go to Section 12 of the bill. View that in that section, as Inkosi has said, we must be a public entity with our own autonomy. Therefore, we need our own permanent staff, not secondary staff. Because if you have a secondary staff, you don't have a permanent say to that staff, because he or she is not employed by you. You also got to A, Part A. I have got a personal concern on that one. Where it is said, a member when he takes, when he or she takes an oath, he must observe and uphold and maintain the laws, rules, orders and procedures of the House and all other laws of the Republic of South Africa. I don't know whether that is compelling or what, because there are certain sections of the laws which one is totally, as a traditional leader, is not in tandem with. You also go to Schedule C, Code of Conduct, Section 3, Subsection 2A. That section also must be qualified. It must include after full investigation, unless otherwise we are giving MECs powers to just pick and choose and expel and suspend willy-nilly. It must qualify, must be qualified with full after full investigation. That is on this one. I will comment also on the second bill. Thank you.
That was a mouthful. That was a mouthful. I would prefer a situation where we take both briefings, so that when we ask questions for clarity, at least we got the gist of all the comments, even from the framework bill. But I'm aware that we are 4 minutes before one. Can I be advised? We take I don't know how long can that the comments on the framework bill will take. If it's not more than 10 minutes, I'll allow them to talk to it, so that then we break for lunch. When we come back, so we engage the two presentations. If I get the nod from my colleagues, can we take that route? Thank you very much. Hoshikuta.
Thank you, Chairperson. In fact, the second bill does not have much, you know, to worry about. The only question which the National House looked at was the question of the Paramount Chief. That, you know, it is because of this usage of Eurocentric type of terminologies, you know. If you don't have, if you were using your own terminologies, you wouldn't be having this Paramount Chief and what, you know. So, I think I will encourage the Parliament and NCOP, you know, to look into this question of using our own terminology in order to cut, you know, these other things, you know, which are just, otherwise you are going to have a lot of mushrooming paramount chiefs throughout the country. Everybody will say, I'm a paramount chief, and we don't want to see that type of a situation. But there is this concern that why was this question of paramount chief not considered by the drafters of the bill? That's our feeling, Chairperson.
In addition to what my chairperson has said, also we also have a concern on section 5 of the bill. Subsection 3A, from paragraph F to J, where also we feel that our royal households, the kings and the queens, are being given a limited choice. To choose the caliber and the type and the integrity of the members of the council, because also if the department can also tell us as to what problem does it avail to have a member of the municipal council being elected as a member of the council of the king, if that person is capable enough to serve in the council, because this is a platform council, this is not a permanent council. And all other F, G, H, I, as well as J. If you look at this bill also, it means a king will not have traditional leaders in the council. Because if you are a member of the house, you do not qualify to be a member of the council. So what is the council of the king going to constitute then if it is not constituted by the royalties? So we are objecting to that one. And also again, where it also states that a particular quota must be composed of women, it is just the same as the first bill. It's violating the democratic principles in terms of the electoral process. A person must be elected by the people. A person must not be imposed to the people. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mwana Khosh, Warafu Urinsela Sama Khosh, Uraore. Okay, I'll talk when you come back.
I think we have listened to the input by the National House,
represented by Khoshi Kutama and Inkosi Mavundla. They were clear, you know, clear and unambiguous, very clear. I propose that we break for lunch. If we can, let's go and just enjoy the juicy, delicious, sumptuous lunch down there, and let's quickly come back. If we at the old assembly restaurant where people enjoyed their lunch yesterday, unfortunately myself and Umpemba went to this meeting yesterday, but we were given this last single line. Please understand that Amakosi will have to fly back to Johannesburg because they would have sitting tomorrow. So they would have loved to stay here until late, but because of, in fact, they're supposed to fly at 3 o'clock, but I pleaded that they change their flight to the later one so that they can just get a gist of some of the questions we might want to pose to them. I'll suggest that we ask questions for clarity. If there are issues that we don't understand based on their inputs, let's ask those. I want us to avoid arguing for whatever position, but just to get the gist of why are they saying this. Now, from there, the department as well will come in if you want to clarify some other issues. Our local department also too. I know they have noted many of the all of the questions that were, all the issues that were raised there. Yeah. Yeah, having agreed on that process, let me start with Honorable Ntuli, Honorable Eleru, in that order.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson, and I would like to also to thank Amakosi with the input they've presented. I just wanted, there are some issues which would like to be clarified. In the case of the kings, there are provinces which do not have one king. Whether, if you look at that, how do we, let's say, if we are talking about the kings, then because we'll find that there is one king, let's say in KwaZulu-Natal, but in the other provinces you find that it's not clear. How do they treat that one? What is their thinking on those issues where a province has got more than one king? The other thing is about this gender equality. We want to find out, let's say, if you are saying Inkosazana is going to take over Ubukhosi in the Tarazi and Aliwekai, what happens Leon Tarazuma is Shad? Yeah, ekuhambeni ubukhosi ngoba phela ubukhosi buhamba ngobuhlobo ukuthi obakwabana bakwamkhona bakwantuli shunishu ndodakazi wami masegane bese kuthiwa isizwe sakwantuli sesishintshile ngoba undodakazi usegane lapha nanokuthi uma esebeletha kundodakazi lo ingane leyo-ke sithi mhlawumbe kuthiwa no ngoba ukulungela uzohlala lapha but ingane yakhe-ke eyawabana kuyona neyakubo kwendoda mhlawumpe uma ngase bathinte lezo zinto bese kuthi lastly ileyo nto leyo ukuthi leyo ukuthi once you are elected or you are permanent let's say you are in the you are an office bearer in the House of Traditional Leaders. I've heard that they are saying it's temporal. I mean, even parliament or council, it's also temporal. You only there a term of 5 years. And I think we were trying to equate the terms in terms of parliament and the terms of the houses. If you are elected, that it's also 5 years because we wanted to equate it so that if you are in this side, it means that we must serve full time in that side because as we have been doing with the servants, the government servants, we were saying that once if you are elected, then you resign automatically because you cannot be paid twice. So I was just putting in that case that have you looked in that case that you cannot be on this side where you're supposed to be paid by the government and you want to be paid or you want to work on the other side as well. So that's why we are saying it must be 5 years so that it will be equated with the local government, parliament and all that, so that at the end then you can go for it when we are no longer part of either of the house or the council or the parliament or the legislation. Thanks, sir.
Thank you very much, Mpemba. Honorable Leru. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I would also like to just make a comment, first of all, and say how interesting it was to listen to the Amakosi, and I must be more or less in full support of what was said, and it was so clearly said that I feel very comfortable with what they are arguing. Just the 2 points, the gender issue, if the must is changed to may, would that satisfy? And then on clause 5, 14A, the persons that may not be appointed, if I can just get an explanation of that, what the views of the Amakosi is again on that. I didn't quite click when they explained that to us. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chair. That was the Honorable Leru. Honorable Nyanda.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to get a clarity. Asithe khaya ngenkosazana. Yimi omdala. And akunabafana. Ubaba uyashona. Sisalungiselele ubaba simngcwabe sicede bese kuthiwa ake kubambe umalume temporarily ukuze kulungisele ukuthi mina ngiphuthwe lapha. Kwenzeka kanjani? Umalume akasafuni. Bathi ngiyintombazana. Angikwazi ukuthatha over. Siyahamba sikhathi siyaluleka ngiyasukuma ngene emthethweni umthetho uthi kufanele ngibekwe umalume uyala siyahamba sikhathi kuyafika ikhotho ithola ukuthi kufanele ngibekwe mase kufanele ngibekwe amakhosi amanye athi asiyi lapho asikwazi ukuyobeka intombazana. Am I not accepted emakhosini njengomuntu ofanele ukuthatha isikhundla sikababa? Ngicela lokho baba.
Can I request Eva Mpongos or Prof to translate so that the Honorable Leru and West can follow exactly? Even Mr. Mayor, I understand. Can you translate what the question by Mamiyande.
Thank you, Chairperson. What the Honourable Member is saying is asking a question as what would happen if at home she is the firstborn and the only child of that particular chief, because she's still young, the uncle, brother to the father, is appointed as a regent while she's really young. But as the time goes on, she grows up and she reaches the time when she should become the chieftainess. Sometimes the uncle doesn't want to vacate the post, and when that time comes for her installation, some chiefs or traditional leaders side with the uncle, saying that they cannot attend the installation of the chieftainess, or it's a woman. What is the attitude and the opinion of the house to that scenario?
Wonderful. The last part on it was to say am I not welcome to the traditional leaders simply because I'm a woman when I've ascended the throne of my own father. Thanks, Prof, for that. Well, still on questions, colleagues, let me allow the responses. Babu Mzizi, I apologize for starting before you arrive, but can you respond to them, Chief? Yeah. Okay.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I think questions raised by honorable members they form part of the debate, you know, which was traditional leaders were meeting all over the country. Some of them, you know, say for example the question of the last question, if I can go straight to that one. I think the NCOP is aware of the case which was taken to the Constitutional Court. And eventually the Constitutional Court approved that the person who took the matter to the court be accorded the throne and was put to the throne. But then I think as an institution of traditional leadership, like we indicated earlier during our presentation, that in our house we do have two women traditional leaders who are members of management committee of the house. And in spite of that, I think as an institution we welcome even that provision which says gender must be looked into. But we don't stop there. We go further and say we need to talk about this whole question ourselves as Africans, whether this is carrying forward the institution of traditional leadership and our identity as people. It is true that while we are living, we must also entertain the provisions of the constitution of the country. But there are other provisions of the constitution, which if not interpreted well by those who are the legal gurus, the judges, the what, they sometimes mislead, or maybe, let me say, they get distorted
or distort our identity, our culture, customs and traditions. Because at the end of the day, what we need to understand is, say for example, the question which was raised, what happened after, say for example, the lady traditional leader has passed away? Who is going to take over the leadership? And say for example, maybe this leader had children from somewhere else. Are these children going to take over? What will happen if they claim? You know, these are some of the questions. And you know, in order for us as an institution to have clear responses on this one, we had to seek some clarity from the Department of Justice, which brought in, you know, professors and other people to come and clarify this thing. And eventually we were told that the case which was decided recently do not affect the whole institution in the country. It only affects that community which had amended its culture, custom and tradition. So it means other traditions, traditional leadership, their customs, traditions and culture, they are still intact. And once they amend it, say by allowing that women traditional leaders should be allowed, so now they will follow suit to the case which was decided. But that case does not affect the whole institution in the country. So this is part of the information we got from the Department of Justice and some institutions in the country. So, but the question of accepting women traditional leaders in all the houses in the country, that is there. We welcome women traditional leaders if they are there, and where there are no women traditional, we cannot force. Yeah, I think democracy, like as we tried to articulate it, needed to play its role. They must be elected, what, and where there are no women, we cannot create, you know, women traditional leaders, so that we send them to national, to provincial houses. So that is the position. The question of the full-time position. Say for example, I'm a member of parliament, and I'm also an inkosi. I'm a member of a house. I think the position is that the houses agreed that the chairperson, the deputy chairperson of the house, whether national, provincial and local, they must be full time. We agreed on that one. But that is determined by the president of the country. If the president says, I want the chairperson and the deputy of the nationals to be full-time, then we become full-time. And if he says the chairperson, the deputy of the provincial houses must also be full-time, they become full-time. Now, if they become full-time, obviously, and they are employed somewhere else, it means they must relinquish one of the positions in order to occupy the other one. But I think even this one, it's, you know, there's a case which was decided, you know, the case at which affected a member of parliament, the Honourable Ngozi Tlelane. So that I think what we need to do is these are the gaps which we create, you know, in our legislations, where sometimes we put clauses and provisions which are not clear. And this is a lesson to us, I should think, even the department which is dealing with this one, in order to make all the laws from the province to national to talk to each other. Because if you can check presently, they are not talking to each other. And the reason why we are having these gaps. But the idea is good, that at least once you have
a person appointed somewhere else full time, and then and is also playing, he must, because even our framework act, it says, because now I'm the chairperson of the National House, I must appoint somebody at home to act for me. You see? So I think even in that case, but it is not clear as such, maybe when it comes to a member of parliament to and to the House, you know, whether a person, if he's a chairperson of the House, can, if he wants to opt not to be full-time, and he wants to be full-time as an MP, whether that can be allowed. But I think the department can clarify that one. The other thing, I think this one of inheriting, it is the same with that one. And then that one of the king, I think the Honorable Nkosin, I mean Duli, asked this question of where there is more than one king, what would be the, what is the position of Amakos? I think we can also ask a question regarding what, so that we understand it better. Say, for example, in the Eastern Cape, there are about six kings, and in KZN there is one. So what are the problems there? Because the kings in the Eastern Cape, they are controlling their own areas, and the king in KZN is controlling his area, the whole area. So I don't see any problem with that. Maybe if the question can be pursued further, we will get something. Okay.
It was in connection with the provincial house, let's say, if the kings are also participating in the provincial house, on which status are they going to? If
that one, honorable members, I think is something which we are discouraging ourselves as Amakhosi, that we do not want to see the kings participating in the provincial houses. Really, that one won't augur well, you know, even with the position of the king himself. I mean, I'm trying to think about the position, the situation where Isilo Semazulu is in the house arguing with his Amakhosi. You know, that situation is not good at all. We've got a situation, we had a situation maybe before in Tlapo Commission, in Free State, where Mreno Mohulu Mota was part of the house. He was the chairperson of the house, and is also now a member of the National House. But because of the Tlapo Commission, you know, which decided that decided otherwise, then we really don't know. But I don't think it's a good idea for Isilo or Ukumkani, Kosikulu, Koshikulu, to be part of the houses, because we are there representing them, these people, and I think it's part of our mandate to go and report to them in each and every session of the house. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, if I may add a rather to what Honorable Nkosi Kutama said, first of all, when we begin to formulate laws, we must embark on an exercise that has symptoms of being sincere, and we must look at the realities of life. To me, it gives a question mark as to why should we opt for a uniform law when there are peculiarities in the provinces. Why do we have to have a blanketing law to all the nine provinces when there are differences and peculiarities in the provinces. Because that uniform law is going to contradict itself when it is being applied in the provinces. And also again, I remember during the period of the mid-90s, after 1994, there were quite a number of conferences that were being held by our government on the Bill of Rights versus tradition. That exercise was never concluded. Because to me, again, it doesn't augur well to import Eurocentric approaches and make them superior to our own African traditions and customs. Because I take my continent, my country, as a country in Africa, where therefore African democracy must be practiced. We must understand that South Africa is a multicultural society. Therefore, our cultures must take precedence as to the Eurocentric principles. I just want to go back to this issue of kings. If we are really trying to address what is incorrect, I think we must begin by saying, what is a king? King of what? Are you a king of the Zulu nation? Are you a king of the Xhosa nation? Are you a king of the Mpondo nation? If within this area there is a Sotho Xhosa Zulu, then it must be a king of the Zulu Xhosa Sotho. You can't have two kings in one particular ethnic group. If we're really addressing the incorrect practices of the past. Therefore, I concur with Nkosi Kutama when he says it will not augur well really to see your king among his subjects, arguing with the subjects, because we honor that particular seat. Therefore, we as the traditional leaders, we are there representing the king himself. We have to go and report back to the king himself if we really honor the particular seat of being a king. Then on the issue of gender, I think this one we need to address it by going back to the traditional practice. Inkosi or Ihoshi is born, and Ihoshi is identified by the royal family. The royal council identifies who is to take over. There is nowhere in our tradition where we say Ihoship is only for men. If a girl, an elder daughter of a chief, wishes to take over the throne of her father, it goes together with some limitations. You can take over, but you are limiting yourself. You are limiting yourself to marriage. You can't marry, because by marrying, you'll be selling away the kingship of this family. It's either you take over, you rule. When you decide to get married, you leave the throne, you go and get married. And if you get married, you can't come back from Kwamfengo and say you are going to come back and take over Ramavunja. That is totally out of tradition and custom. The issue of office bearer position. If you look at that section, section 5.1, it is ambiguous. It is not specific. Because it says no person is eligible to become a member of the house if that person is a member of a municipal council or a provincial legislature or parliament. It doesn't say if you become a permanent office bearer of the house. These houses, as I've said before, they are temporary structures. It's only the chairperson and deputy at a national level that qualify to become permanent members, full-time members. Other members of the National House are part-time members. Therefore, I don't understand why you cannot become a member of a House being a part-time member. Well, what problem does it make? Unless otherwise you become a office bearer full-time, then it's understood. As again, if you take for instance a member of the House who's an educator, he's a full-time educator in the school, also again he's a part-time member of the House, it doesn't do any harm. And then also, the other member here talked about an uncle refusing to relinquish the position. No, that one who refuses, if you are a regent, they are part-time, they are temporary. When the family decides that you must go out, you have to go out.
Chairperson, maybe just to add one thing. I think my colleague here, Nkosi Mavuya, what he's trying to say on the question of the full-time position is that there is a gap in the bill. Then if you can put, if you can insert something which says, which includes even full-time members of the houses, then maybe that will cover. But if that is not there, then a person can be the chairperson of the provincial house and who is not full-time and then become a member of parliament or whatever. But if you want to avoid that, then you have to put something in the legislation now which will block that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Inkosi Yami commented about our chairperson at the KZN Provincial House. The reason why my chairperson won the case is because the provincial legislation was silent about permanence. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I want the department to come in now to clarify some of these issues. There is one or two issues that I think has to be clarified. Even the Office of the State Law Advisor, I think they must come in here. I'm looking at a scenario where we're having these councillors in the municipalities who are part-time councillors, but example, they are teachers. They are allowed to continue as councillors, but at the same time, they are teachers. But in this legislation, we're saying if you're a member of the House, you can't be. Yeah, so I think it's unfair. I think that, as I said, the legal gurus must assist us here as to exactly what I'm trying to say here. I will not discriminate against this institution, these members of this institution. Yeah, I don't have an answer to that, but I think if we can be advised on that one. Even the question of must and may to check whether can it be flexible enough to use may instead of must. As I said, I don't have any view up until now. I'll only have my view later. Yeah, on other issues that need to be clarified, can I hand over Prof and your team to respond to that before I give members, because you're not here when you started, I'll give you time, let them respond to some of these questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will do that and also allow my colleagues to chip in and come in. But just before we respond, let me say this, that our response is to provide a motivation behind what we said, to give a rationale as to why we said that. So at this point in time, we're not arguing these issues. We have come to listen to Amakhosi from the National House. So I hope we understood that what we are going to do is to give reasons why we said that. That is the motivation behind what we said.
Quickly, I've said I'm going to touch on a few and then allow my colleagues to. The National House must be attended by members of the National House must be members of some senior transnational leaders. We agree on that. Yes, we encountered a conflicting opinions on this from Amacos. But if you look at how we crafted it, we're saying this is confined to, it is exclusive to senior transnational leaders, members of the National House. But where there is a persuasive argument to go for headmen, or there's an absence of the required number of senior transnational leaders, then headmen can be considered as members. We've said that in the program. Yes, we agree with Amakos when they talk about the use of vernacular.
Maybe before you leave that point, Prof, I want us to leave this point having a done in all of us. We're talking of traditional leaders here. I wonder if, including headmen, are we not diluting this thing? The argument by Amakos is to say this institution is the institution of traditional leaders. Headmen, it's the headmen day. If maybe in the definition we have defined headmen in Dunas as traditional leaders, that was wrong. That was a mistake. If we have defined them as such, so they'll participating as what? Because they are not traditional leaders. They're participating as what? Because my suspicion is that I belong to that organization and I'm not going to disown it. In Contralesa, we're taking Vinizinduna to be members of Contralesa. And if you're taking the root of Contralesa, it means you'll find the wrong people participating in this institution, in the houses. So in terms of as far as Contralesa is concerned, even headmen, you know, they're fine, but not in this institution. I wonder. It will be clarified, but I think let's allow the prof and the team to respond. I was just trying to check, they are now participating as what, if we're going to allow Izinduna headmen to be part of the National House, after having been nominated by their provincial houses, as what, because they are not traditional leaders, and they're not going to be. Because one manufacturer, Amakos, that's my only worry. They will find themselves in that house as what? Continue, Prof. I think I'm happy because you clarify to say the department, they're not going to tell us they will motivate the reasons why they put what they put there. Not to argue, to say, no, they think they are right. No. I think I'm happy that you clarify that one, because we don't want you to be seen as if you are defending yourself. Thanks very much. Continue, Prof.
Thank you, sir. But the nice thing to say is that, through you, Honorable Chairperson, that the House must also understand that there are three levels of the institution of Amakos, according to the policy, government's policy, that was agreed upon through a protracted period of negotiations with all concerned, all stakeholders, including Amakos, the kings, senior transnational leaders, and headmen. So there are three levels of Amakos as far as the government, as far as the framework is concerned. And as I say, this was never imposed, this was negotiated and agreed upon. And it is reflected in the current act that governs Amakos. Having said that, then let me hasten to just mention a few and allow my colleagues to come in. The question of vernacular, we have said that, well, the point that was a bone of contention, was a problem, was the use of vernacular in dealing with the national legislation. Because what I'm going to say there, are we going to use all these languages? But we agreed that at provincial level, province-specific terms must be used. Amakhosi, KwaZulu, inkosi, ohoshi, osimhulu, all those terms must be reflected in provincial legislation. There's no problem. But where there was a bit of a challenge, and we can look at that, was when it came to the use of these terms at national level. Which ones we are going to use and exclude which ones. So otherwise we have an understanding with what the National House is trying to say. But perhaps we can have a relook at the national level. Now, at provincial level, there's no problem with what they are saying. Yeah. Question of autonomy of the House. I think their approach is, this is not catered for in this legislation, for the simple reason this, that, or in these bills. This issue is being investigated by the government. Indeed, this is a topical issue. It's a very important issue with respect to the institution. And for that reason, the government has embarked on a process of fact-finding as to what the position is, what the views are, why there was this scenario at the status quo ante, why there was this scenario before, and what are the options now. So this issue is being looked at by government. It is not included in these bills simply because of that, Honorable Chairperson, that it is being investigated. It's not a question of a decision has been taken. We have said, let's keep it on hold while the government is investigating it. Investigations are underway as we speak. There's a document that is circulating addressing this issue that the government must have views on and take a stand. So that is the reason of this. On the issue of dissolution that the House is objecting to, I think we've talked informally outside that the government really doesn't have strong views on that, especially if the House agrees with what we are saying here, that the House must be dissolved on the expiry of the term of office of the House, and they are objecting to after a vote, that is section B, 21B, that says after a vote supported by two-thirds majority of the full complement of the members of the House in a meeting of the House called for that purpose. We are saying, we hear what they are saying, and without actually committing government on that, we have no strong views as we speak to that. And we may safely say then that we will have a look at that. We understand what we're saying. It's just that as government, we can't simply say now yes, but to all intents and purposes, we have no hard and fast, you know, opinion on that, and we understand what they are saying. If it causes problem, there will be no a train smash if it is removed by government, that part. Let me then ask my colleagues to finish up what has been asked by the Honourable Member. With your permission, Honourable Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. The issue of the must and the may, maybe just trying to explain that. I think the English is wrong there. It shouldn't read as it's reading now, because if you look at the wording used for traditional councils, local houses, and as well as in provincial legislation, it says at least one-third must be women. provided that if a sufficient number of women are not available, a lower threshold can be determined. So I think we must use the same terminology so that the whole, is aligned with all the structures. It's very clear then that there needs to be a strive really to promote and enhance the gender issue. But it doesn't say that if they are not available, that you must meet that requirement. There's always room for determination of a lower threshold where it's not possible.
So, Andagar, I think you look at it and bring us the correct draft so that it's in line with what you are saying. Because we might end up trying to manufacture women traditional leaders, even whether or not they, when you say must. But thanks for clarifying that. I think it would welcome the new formulation. Yes, Bambonga.
I think the questions have been covered. Except the issue of why disqualify those members who are in the municipalities, provincial legislatures, and in parliament. Actually, I think this is a position that was adopted in 2003 with the drafting and adoption of the white paper, as well as in the Framework Act. If you look at the Framework Act, Section 15, even now, it provides for that situation to say if a traditional leader becomes a member of a municipal council, a member of the provincial legislature, a member of parliament, like Nkosi Kutama indicated earlier, that traditional leader must then appoint a deputy traditional leader in his area who will perform all the functions of being a traditional leader. So in line with that spirit, therefore, you know, this clause was then suggested to say, obviously, you know, a leader who is in the municipal council or any of the others, like I've indicated, is no longer, strictly speaking, at that time a traditional leader, because he's full time in the municipal council, he's a member of the provincial legislature, and he's in parliament. So, if you look at that position which was adopted, therefore, we just wanted to be consistent with regard to the House as well. I mean, if you also look at the Framework Amendment Bill with regard to the kingship or queenship councils, the same sort of provision is there, excluding these members to be part of these councils. So I think that if the discussion is to say, let that position be changed, I think that's what we need to be bringing to the table, to say, let's change the 2003 position and adopt a new position to allow Amakhosi, who are in municipalities, provincial legislatures, and parliament here, to become members of the councils, etc., etc. So that's what I just wanted to add, Chair. To say it's a legal position adopted in 2003. If it has to change, then I think the matter is really not in our hands as officials, but in the hands of parliament to discuss and agree on the issues. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, I think you again respond to the question of the kingship and queenship, because in my province, the question that they said, what culture is that, the queenship and the kingship? We don't have that in our culture. It's something strange, the queenship and kingship, we don't have that. We have a king and a queen, that's it. The department come and tell us, what kind of animal is the queenship and kingship? We don't have it. I don't know of any such thing in this institution.
Chair, I think we've been getting this question everywhere, almost everywhere. In fact, even when we started with the cabinet here and all the consultations that we've had. Again, it goes back to what the House was presenting earlier, to say immediately you start using English for these things, you will get into some problems. Because there was an issue of whether you should call them, you know, monarchs, with monarchies, or kings with kingdoms, or queendoms, or you know, it's a terminological morass. We don't know really which one to choose. Hence, now you have this kingship or queenship. But again, the issue of queenship now, as a new, let me say, animal, in terms of like the constitution, you have to be gender sensitive in all these things. Now, if we're going to say only king, with his kingship. Obviously, we're going to be adjudged not to be gender sensitive. So you have to talk about a king with his kingship and a queen with his queenship. So the other terms that could have been used was, for instance, a kingdom, which also had its own problems in terms of the arguments that we encountered. The same with a monarch and a monarchy. So in the end, we were left with a king with a queen, a kingship, and a queen with a queenship. So I mean, these terms are foreign, but that is the only thing that we could have used at this particular moment, if we have to use English for this. Thanks, Chair.
Yes, I'll open it for because I can see that there are many questions. Because one other question that Umpemba raised earlier on, it's about the Ndodakazi ekhaya. I can't know exactly how he put it, Umpemba. You remember what the question that you raised, yeah? I wanted to comment.
Thank you, Chairperson. I did clarify this one, and I said the issue of the throne is decided firstly by the royal family. It is the family that decides who is to take over. In the situation where there is an elderly girl who wants to take over, he is not debarred from doing that. She can take over, but she is limiting her right to marry. Because when he begins to marry, he must relinquish the position and go and marry. So he forfeits the position. Chairperson, if I may take this opportunity again, I think the chairperson is quite correct to question this issue of queenship and kingship. Because when you start by saying kingship and queenship, it means you must go down also and say traditional leadership and what?
Yeah. I want to move to members to now ask questions. I still want. Have you exhausted all questions?
That issue which was raised, and in support partly of what Nkosi Mavundla is saying, according to that judgment, Constitutional Court, it doesn't necessarily mean that any woman who is the eldest must automatically become a chief. He doesn't say that. He's saying correctly, Nkosi Mavundla Luguti. The decision lies with the royal family, and the royal family is going to be guided by the customary law of that family. So if they decide then that to change the custom to say, yeah, we have allow women to who are eldest to take over, that's fine. But it doesn't necessarily, if you read that opinion, that a traditional authority can develop customary law, meaning then that it's up to that family to agree. It doesn't necessarily mean automatically now all women who are firstborn can become chiefs. No, it doesn't say that. Thank you.
No, like enough about the judgment, I think I agree with the. Yeah. You know, in the case of the Shiluvane Wamito, it is because the royal family and everybody took a decision to say our colleague here is a member of parliament, Ms. Shiluvane, must take over the throne because her uncle passed on. They agreed and everything was fine. It's only this son to the uncle who came and said, no, I refuse. Then he took everybody to court. But the royal family would agree on as the prophet say, depending on the particular royal family, if they agree to say no, this one must take over, it's fine. It's not automatic now, because people will say now it means where the constitutional court has diluted our, no, it's that particular one family. If we decide otherwise, that's it. Can I now take, I saw, before I get that, Hosh Kutama, I saw your hand was up, you wanted to clarify this, or you were up until late?
I wanted to clarify on the same question which Prof did. Yeah, but then I think during my presentation I tried to put further, you know, questions which as a nation we need to ask ourselves as to what happens should this lady who assumed the position of the chieftainship pass away? What will happen? And there are children here. And these children may have a right to claim. Knowing that, you know, the chieftainship or the traditional leadership itself belongs to the family, to the royal family, they may influence the decision makers here to say, yes, we are the daughters and sons of the late, and therefore we want this position. So this thing really, I think we need to think about it. It is not the duty of traditional leaders to look into it alone, but everybody in the country, including parliament and all these legislatures, to think about this thing, whether these type of decisions are taking the country forward or maybe destroying our system of the institution of traditional leadership. Thank you.
Hosh Kutama is now throwing this thing very deep now, you know. Yeah, this is for another debate. We need a day to debate that. It's a very serious question that. Dr. Van Heerden, the Honorable Mzizi, Honorable Museki, Honorable Manyosi, Mpemba, that is Honorable Ntuli, in that order.
Chairperson, I think you will maybe recall that when we first started talking about this bill, I said that I was looking very much forward to get some more information about how this these things work. I remember that in my legal studies, that was the most difficult but the most fascinating part of my legal studies. I must confess that, but the most difficult. Latin was even much, much easier. It was a joy, in fact. Be that as it may, Chairperson, just tell me, are there provincial legislation in place regarding traditional leadership before I formulate my questions? Yeah. Are there? Thank you. That may then take some of my questions away. Is that Nkosi Mbuti? Mbuti? Mabula? Mavunla. Mavunla. He said something, and this is not, but it will help to shape my participation in the bill, Chairperson. He made one remark that there was some negotiations between the Bill of Rights and how the Bill of Rights can be compatible with traditional rights. Now my question, Chairperson, flowing from this remark that he made, is that I was persuaded, not convinced, but I was persuaded during the negotiations, and I said, "You did not convince me, but I will abide by the majority." They said, they indicated that I think it's section 30, where they said, when I particularly raised maybe I'm from the Freedom Front. At that stage I was in the negotiations with the National Party. We have a particular affinity for traditional matters in our party, where I'm now at this stage. And now, just correct me if it isn't section 30 of the Bill of Rights, of the Constitution, where it provides for the protection and promotion of people belonging to linguistic, language and religion and cultural groups. Doesn't that was that maybe the result of the negotiations between whoever negotiated with you regarding the Bill of Rights and the traditional rights? Is that section 31? Is that maybe the culmination, shall we say, of the negotiations between whoever negotiated with you about the Bill of Rights and the traditional rights and customs? Thank you, Chairperson. I will just stop it there. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Van Heerden. In that order.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Is that order?
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Chairperson, you know, earlier on, if Pablo was here, I would have suggested that I have tried to look through of any presentation made by Amakhosi, which I could not come across it. The only three things that I have noted, it was when Unkosi Kodama says that we believe in our traditional values as Abantu Ubuntu, which I have noted. And he went on to cite on that and said we want the autonomy. And he cited the section 9, which is that institution which represent quite a number of institutions. Then he also spoke of dissolution. What I would have actually rise up and say that can Amakhosi present us with their own views vis-a-vis the bill itself so that we can take that and interpret it into this bill, and we will be able to then argue that which things should come in, which things should go out. I tell you my dilemma when this bill, if I look through it. It speaks of traditional leaders. In that in itself, a traditional leader. I don't have it in my own language. Nabuko Bindabu. Akaiku tradition lab. Abako Bindabu. Now, these are some of the things when this Eurocentric thinking, when it comes in, they sort of, because even if you look at the doctors, a medical doctor is a medical doctor. When it comes to us as a traditional healer, the traditional medicine, you are not an end. A witch doctor, something of this, because they cannot interpret these things. Now, that is a problem we have. Well, we can go even further. Chairperson, you talk about the kingship and queenship. You know how this thing came in? When Nkosi Koshoayo was arrested, the English people thought that in order to diminish the throne of the Zulus, divide the Zululand into 14 districts and have kinglets. Who would have been if Nkosi Koshoayo comes out? You'd find that there are now kinglets. People would be now saying, I'm also a king, I'm also a king. That was how they wanted to rule and divide us. That's why this kinglets comes in. There's now have the kingship and queenship. Now, these are some of the things that say that it tells us quite a lot. You cannot create an Nkosi. The only Nkosi that, the only girl that I know that fought steadfastly, Mukabada Chama. Kanada Chama, if you follow that trend of that story, there that person, I don't know whether how, well, read the history. When Mukabada Chama came out, presented Nkosi Senzangakhona, and she started hailing the Nkosi, and everybody followed behind. When she said, Barate, Barate, Wazul, it is then that everybody agreed. Now, let me go to my own tradition in the Zulu. In the tradition of our Zulus, you'll never know who's the Nkosi. Who will never know? You as a lay person. Ferdinand Hotwater to my cousin, Nkosi Zwelithini. I greeted him and asked him, how is the Nkosi and I was referring to Zwelithini? So instead of telling me how is the Nkosi and I said, so you now started you, the uncles of
Mndabezitha. We must now quote Mndabezitha. In the past, inkosi uBhusha kaNandi, uBhavu kaMakhanda, uSibhenga bekuZulu. He was the paramount chief because he was put by the then, those monarchies you talk about, by the Englishman. At the time, when Inkosi uZwelithini was put into throne, you know, we are not going to go into the history. Ngoba Inkosi uBhavu kaMakeshane, uBhavu kaMakhethane, he spoke to Inkosi uButhelezi. My cousin, when I died, look after my children. And when you died, I'll look after your children. Very little Inkosi uButhelezi knew what was happening. And he died first. And Inkosi uZwelithini, when he wanted to be put into the throne, he went to Tangwanje. He did not even go into the house. He stayed in the car and said, Mfuru Bukhosi Bam, march. You see what comes? We know that we was Zwelithini. Who was he? We never know. But the elderly family knew that that is the person who is going to take over. I'm trying to tell the department that I think it would be wise to call these Amakhosis. Let me give you the history so that when you put this institution, know exactly that there's no insult. There would be no bickering. There would be no infight. Those would be my comment, but I would ask them, because put down what you want. I understand what you want. I know what we want, but put down so that it will enable me. Because when I get the mandate from the province, it will be put and forced down into my throat. And I have to accept it. But when I depart probably as a member of the party, I might bring my views, but the mandate from my province, it might differ from what I have, but give me the ammunition by doing the thing.
You know, I wish we had enough time. That's kind of a rich history. You know, I remember one day I was traveling from Pemba from where at the northwest of, you know, when I was telling about the same history you were saying about the you know, I enjoyed it, you know.
Were you driving him?
In that order.
Thanks, Chief. Come on, Chief, thank you very much. You know, Clara, now we're just here. Thank you very much, just one concern, man. Prof, I'm very concerned about what we are picking up from the house here, that they were not engaged, involved at the initial stage of discussing this. That's why most of these things that they are raising are coming out. I'm a bit concerned about that. And I maybe suggest, without really doing any other thing, to say that in future when we deal with legislations that affect this institution, they should be involved from the onset, so we minimize some of these things that are coming out now. That's one thing that I thought I must talk about, Chairperson. The other thing on the kingship, wow, a very complex thing. Well, let's call it Khosi Kholo, man. I don't want to get complicated. I don't want to get into trouble. Khosi Kholo. When I briefed my province chairperson, you know, something came up on this debate to say that if you say you've got two kings in Kwakwa or in Free State, what are you saying? Because Basotho are under one king, not... you cannot have king in Lesotho and Dahel. That's what they say. Well, I say to them, no, mistake that we must not make, a province that, you know, we are not legislating for Lesotho. We're actually legislating for South Africa. So we're talking about South Africa here, not about Lesotho. So let's confine ourselves to that. But I'm just throwing this to your attention. This thing is bringing other debates. about the actual, the rightful king or the rightful Kosi Kholo is beginning to raise us. Another example was about the Bakatla Bakafele and Bowman Siwa Kumafike. You say that when they want Bukhosi, they cross the border to Lesotho. I mean to Botswana, Habai Direka. So those debates are coming up, and I think we must, in a way, begin to prepare for this. And these are some of the things that I think, if we had started the discussion with that institution from the onset, would have enriched the discussion around that. And I think once again, just to appeal that in future we must try by all means to do that. The other thing, Kosi Kutama, you know, I was listening with keen interest your argument and the argument brought from that side. What is very intriguing about this discussion is what you were suggesting about, you initially talked about it, autonomy and independence. I was not sure whether you were talking about the independence of the institution or the autonomy. Autonomy is understood, it can be understood. And when you raise chapter 9, institution, I think is correctly located within that context. But when you talk about independence, it seems to me it's something else. So I would want us just to clarify that. But linked to that is the issue of within that context of autonomy or independence, your own budget, accounting as an institution to the parliament. At one point, of course, I was thinking that actually our leaders are suggesting that we must have a ministry of this institution. Please get me out of that quagmire, because I'm not very sure if that's what we suggest. Just help me with regard to that. I was suggesting a ministry for that. sorry. She can protect me from from my Darren is actually creating crisis. Out of that cash 22 situation, I mean cash 22 situation, I just want to be clear, because like the doctor there, you know, I need to clarify myself properly around some of these issues. But I'm better than him, believe me. I'm far much better than the doctor there. Because somehow I do, well, my elders have some linkage to the institutions. I know a little bit about it. But I'm actually raising this thing to say, look, we are in a democratic state. That's a broader context. One thing that we must do at all costs is to have a situation whereby 100 years after our passing on, there will be confusion in the coming generation that will be saying, look, the way things have been evolving prior to our time, we were building up towards a monarchy state or something like that, or a parallel monarchy and democracy, and that may create a situation. I just want to be right around those issues so we are able to clarify this thing as we move forward. Thank you very much.
Hey, you know, history, it's so rich. These people know their history. It's so... Ndanekas.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's fortunate that the Eastern Cape seems to be in agreement with most of the things that our traditional leaders are saying here. I will make two comments and put a question at the end. I think the chairperson of the House is correct in suggesting that there should be a change of terminology. I think this issue of the headman, I suspect where it comes from. It might be coming from the Eastern Cape.
Because in the Eastern Cape, you have got a chief and a headman, besides the king. Now, the chief is what we would like to now term a senior traditional leader. A headman, there is a headman that is just appointed by the senior traditional leader. But there is a headman that is hereditary. It is not rare to get a headman born of a king, that is the second wife of a king, or third wife of a king. Where the land is vast, then the regional authority, as it is called, decides to subdivide it to give another house an area to rule. Now that headman is not the same as the headman that is just appointed. He is born of a king, and therefore you can't say he is not of royal blood. Also, I think that it also comes from the scenario where there was Ciskei and Transkei. In the Ciskei they were appointed, in the Transkei they were born. So the change of terminology would assist. For instance, you find in the provincial house of traditional leaders in the Eastern Cape, you will find there a son of a king who is the headman by status, but you are afraid now to say headman so and so. Today you are afraid to say so because you know that this is the grandson of King Kyutandamase, for example. Now coming to Nkosi Mavhunga, the exclusion of certain people, certain traditional leaders in the case of the traditional house, I'm sorry that Professor Sobahle is not here, from being in parliament and being part-time in the national house. I think why I'm saying I'm sorry that Professor Sobahle is not here, he might have an idea about how that came about in 2003. And I think that the chairperson of the house might also have an idea as to how it came about that there was that discrimination that if you are a member of parliament and a part-time member, you must move away from that house, national house of the... I know, but I may not mention that. But Professor Sobahle would be in a position to also know because he has been there for some time, and I know that he knows the background to the change of the status ante. Now, my question comes with regard to women representation, that I think 30%. I suppose that those women will not have just automatically come to the National House of Traditional Leader or Provincial House of Traditional Leader. I may be assuming that there may have been a process of election around women who are traditional leaders, and the one who got the most vote is the one who then comes to the house. And it might not be like that. I may not have studied this properly, but that was my understanding, that there will be an election. And the traditional leader who is a woman who gets the most vote then goes to the house, which then makes it legitimate in terms of democracy. I don't know whether that understanding is a wrong understanding of how the process goes. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Delegate Manius, Honorable Ndule.
Thanks, Chairperson. I just wanted, I'll just say, maybe to try to expatiate what Manyosi was saying, particularly with the part-time. I was saying, usually, in these three spheres of government, it's only councillors who've got part-time councillors. And last year, I remember, we were trying to have a bill which will do away with the part-time councillors. Now, I'm thinking of that. This side, we are saying, let's do away with part-time things. And but now with the traditional leaders, you come up with part-time things to say, aren't we going to be contradicting ourselves to say we want to do away with part-time thing once we are full-time, because these are all institutions under the government. You can't have, because we, in fact, we are arguing even with the teachers to say, if a teacher is a part-time counselor and it's a teacher, between the two, something is suffering. Usually it is the education. And we were saying, by allowing these part-time things, it means that we are allowing a laissez-faire where something will not be done because some people are in between. You don't know whether he's in this side or this side. So that was the thinking of parliamentarians, to say let's do away with the part-time thing so that once we are there, everybody must know that we are there. But now I'm a bit disturbed now if you say now you want to go to part-time, because as I was saying, you cannot be a part-time MP or MPL, but there is a part-time councillor. And we were arguing with the Minister of Local Government to say, why don't we do away with this part-time thing? We just have full-time councillors so that people will be responsible and accountable. Now, if a person is part-time, you say, no, it's because I was doing this, I was not there. And you cannot, it will always be like that. So I'm just putting that thinking that that's how it came about, this part-time thing. Then what is your thinking if we are saying, no, let's try to prevent part-time thing, let's have full-time, that's it. Thanks.
Darren, was I up? Okay, no, I thought Darren was up. You are the only person who got two kings in one small village. questions were put. I think let's get some responses. I don't know who wants to start first. Either department or the National Health.
We may respond on some of the questions, Chairperson. Maybe let's take on the question on autonomy or independence. Now, our position here is that we need to be given that status of autonomy. We also cited chapter 9 institutions. That's the position we want. Yeah. We don't want to be independent. We're part of government. Independent of what? we're part of government, yes. The manner in which chapter 9 institutions are being run, you know, would want to be like that. And the other issue is the question of representation of women. I think we have indicated to the select committee here that we do not have a problem in the House, either provincial, local, and national, to have women, traditional leaders, representing their provinces at national and representing their local houses at provincial houses. We don't have that problem. because we are doing this in line with the dictates of the constitution. Women traditional leaders are welcomed there, and as long as what my colleague Nkosi Mavundla said, that they come through the correct processes, that of being elected by the local structures, the provincial structures, to represent them in those all those structures. We don't have a problem with that. And the question of the part-time, this is a serious problem. And I think the part-time of councillors and the part-time of traditional leaders, it's not being treated alike, these situations. The councillors, they do get benefits and everything, and ours do not. Our members do not get all benefits like what councillors are getting. Ours will get only a sitting allowance and maybe a travel. And one other thing which is worse, it is the full-time members now, and including all other members now, after their term of office, after 5 years, the chairperson, the deputy, they just go home. They don't even get anything, which is a problem. And I thought maybe this bill will also be addressing that, even though we are aware that this whole question is supposed to be addressed by the commission, the Seneca Commission. But I think something was supposed to have been included, a provision just to indicate in the legislation that the chairperson, the deputy, and those who will be full-time in future must get benefits when they leave the office. How benefits? Then they refer that to the commission. So these are some of the issues where even as we speak now, we are struggling, you know, engaging the department on the what to call, on the request of traditional just to be given you know, what do you call it? Ex gratia. You see, just to say thank you for being for your 5 years. That one, the house was dissolved last year. This is a new house. Up until today, members are still calling me day in, day out to say, we even suggested a certain amount to the department up until this today. No, Musaneke said it is not his baby, he is doing the future. But the department is supposed to do something on this one. So, this is one other question which I think members need to look into it. Well, I don't know. I think I've done my part. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson and honorable members of the NCOP, the question by Dr. Van Heerden was based on Section 31 of the Constitution. Now, when I was articulating on the issue of the Bill of Rights versus tradition, I was referring to the conferences that were being held regarding interpretation of the Bill of Rights versus tradition. I do understand that it is captured in Section 31, but when it is interpreted for certain scenarios and for certain situations, you will find that the Bill of Rights supersedes tradition. Inkosi has articulated on the qualification of women. I will support the sentiments expressed by Mzizi there, that when Mzizi was saying these bills revealed the fact that Ubukosi was not involved from the drafting stage. I'm sorry to say this, but you may be amazed if I may tell you
that these bills were sent to Parliament before they were even brought to us. And we have not been part of the drafting team of these bills. Which is a question I've been raising quite some time, Bumzis. But why are we excluded as an institution? Even in 2003, I was asking the very same question. Why is there no team of Ubukosi, which is part of the drafting team, which is going to inform the realities of Ubukosi? Because these bills, to me, are not addressing the imbalances of the past. And they are going to distort the future of the institution. And we'll be playing for this as members of these houses. And also again, when you go to the issue of permanency, since I became a member in this house, we have been advocating for permanence of members till today. Only the chairperson and deputy are permanent. As Inkosi has put it correctly, even chairperson, he gets that salary he gets. When he goes out, there is no pension, there is no medical scheme, there is no insurance risk, there is nothing. He gets a salary, after 5 years, you're out with nothing. Which indicates that this institution is not treated well. It's not treated well. And really, as I said before, if we are addressing Ubukosi, we need to address Ubukosi correctly. As one of the members of the NCP said, you can't have two kings in one ethnic group. When you say there are two kings, one Ndebele, how many Mandebeles are there? Because there's only one Ndebele. Therefore, there must be one king for the Ndebeles. When you have got Tswanas, there must be only one king for Tswanas. You can't have two, three Matswanas in one area. Therefore, these bills are not addressing correctly what is transpiring in Kusini. Hence, we are taking so many sections of this. When you talk about the King Council, the king is a king just because they are Amakos. If you say Amakosi because they participate in the houses, they cannot become members of the council. Any king is a man. Umangi yone Amakos.
Yeah. Very interesting. Now, maybe one question from... What's your view about Clause 5.1d? Qualifications for membership of the House. No, the National House. On page 5. Madam Akosi to reply to this one. Because in my culture, Kasipedi, Koshi Kutama will know that we don't have anything like the Hoshis of an unsound mind. Even in Tswana, I know, you don't have that. We respect the throne, not the person. Now, if you say this is of an unsound mind, it's an insult to tradition leadership. I don't know how it finds its way to this bill, this formulation. I want to hear the view of the Makos about this one, because this is my personal view. This is my personal view. And I didn't lobby anybody to support me on this one.
I think, Jefferson, you're very right. You know, because in my culture, Wosi does not belong to a person. It belongs to the family. And therefore, to say there is a person is unsound and that this person cannot qualify, this person is not, it is not his institution. It is the institution of a family, and it is the aunts, the uncles who hold that power. And they would discuss with the community. So this thing really is completely out. I don't know how it comes. Maybe the department
can tell us how, because really, you know, some of the issues, you know, because we were not part of the drafting, they just, you know, pass without without checking them whether there's a meaning in it or what, you know. Thank you.
Now, I'm asking this because, for example, in Limpopo, you know, at Zanin, but Khoshi Rizwalo, he's a Khoshi. He's a Khoshi and he's there, even though he is how he is now. I don't want to say much. He's a Khoshi because, as God said, he is holding the throne that on behalf of the clan. He is, you know, the figure that's recognized as a Khoshi, regardless of whatever. Therefore, in our culture, as a Khoshi, you are not ruling. No, no, no. It's the council, the royal council that is ruling. So you're just saying. But maybe that is for another debate. Maybe we can leave it for now. But this particular sub clause here, D, I give notice that I'll propose that we remove it. I mean, it's not in our culture to have things like that. I don't know in other cultures, but in the Sotho culture and the other, I know we don't have. I think it's high time that they respond to questions to this concern. What I was saying, you know, this long sentence in Zulu. Bongos and Prof.
I'm going to allow, because I had gone out, some of the issues I missed out. I'm going to, with your permission, Chairperson.
You
want to
come in here? Thanks, Honorable Chair. The question that was asked, I think, before we went to lunch about the paramountcies, I don't think we responded to it. Chair, this is the old terminology in the old legislation. It's there even currently in the Framework Act as let me say, a terminology that is being phased out. The kings were called paramount chiefs before, but in terms of the new legislation, they'll be called kings. That's what the commission is busy confirming right now. So in the future, there won't be anybody called a paramount chief, if that was the question. But obviously, I mean, as we indicated earlier, in the provinces, kings are referred to in their own vernacular terms. Chair, the recent questions that have been asked, I don't know, Chairperson, about the consultation with the House. I don't really want to get much into that. But we believe as a department that from as early as when we started with the bills, we involved the House and the officials of the House, and the House itself. We've had so many consultation meetings with the House, even before the bills were published, even before the bills went to Parliament. There was enough consultation with the House. But I don't think really it has to be an issue up for debate at this level, how that was done. But I think the whole report, in terms of the consultations, was also requested by the Portfolio Committee, and we gave the Portfolio Committee the whole process, how we've gone through the process of consultations on this. There was also a comment around the issue of the Ministry for Traditional Leadership by one of the members. I don't know, in terms of what we've been told, there will be a Department for Traditional Leadership in terms of what Cabinet has approved. But it will still be under the Ministry of Provincial and Local Government. So it will be like Department of Agriculture and Land Affairs. There's one minister, but there are two departments, two directors general, but one minister. So I think that is the arrangement that is going to come into the picture once the department is established. There was also a comment around whether the issue of the monarchy as a parallel sort of governance in the future I don't really think that in terms of the current legislation, really, we're looking into that. I mean, these kingships that we're talking about here will never, ever, ever be sort of like parallel governments alongside with the current, you know, institution of the state as it is right now. Even the kings that we're talking about will only be responsible for their areas. But I think to take the debate further, when we're looking at the terms, what to call the kingship, if you look at, for instance, the kingdom or the monarch, I mean, the English dictionary will tell you that it's a country ruled by a monarch or a king. So that English interpretation is really not what we're looking at here. That's why we opted for kingship, which really refers to the position of the king and the community of the king. That's really what we are talking about. I think also the contribution by the honorable member around the issue of headmen appointed versus born, I think is a position we know. And I think it's really useful, like it has been said, to use the vernacular language. I don't know, in the at this level, at national level, maybe we might really need to consider this, Chair, to maybe, you know, define these terms. To say, if we say headman in English, what are we referring to? We're referring to Induna, Inkosana, and all these vernacular terms that we are using at local level, that are used already in the provincial legislation. So at national level, we're looking for something that can embrace and cover everyone in terms of the vernacular languages. But I think maybe we'll need to consider coming up with vernacular terms also at this level, which will mean that we'll have to list all of them. If there are 9 or 10 or 11, we'll have to list all of them for understanding. There was also a question of the background to Section 15 of the Act. Personally, I was not around at that time. I know very little about this, the whole background. I'll leave it to my colleague here, Mr. Meireng, who was part of the process from start to end. He will give us a bit of a history around that. The issue of the election of women to the houses, yes, the understanding by the honorable member is correct. The traditional leaders, for them to go and participate in the national house, they are elected by provincial houses. So the provincial houses, they must elect. If they elect men only, it's up to them. If they elect women only, it's up to them. If they elect men and women, it's also up to them. But I think the idea is to encourage the election of women also, you know, to go and participate in the national houses. But anybody who participates in the national house is by election, by a provincial house currently. I think the issue of the part-time members of the house, I think that was addressed by Amakhosi from the house. But just to add that the bill right now says the chairperson and the deputy chairperson will be full-time by operation of law. There will be no, let me say, issues of the determination by the president whether they should be full-time or not. So they'll be full-time. Any other member who may be full-time in the house, that will now be a subject to a determination by the president in consultation with the house to say who else can be full-time. And I think this is the position that was basically agreed upon by basically all the parties concerned during the consultations. The issue of unsound mind, Chair, I really think the debate is correct, the way it was put. We don't have any, let me say, any reason to defend why it should be here. It's just one of those clauses which are just, you know, standard and general in all these structures that are there. You know, you will find this in almost any legislation that establishes a structure or a body in terms of the law. So if this is an offending clause, when it comes to traditional leadership, a structure like the house we're talking about here, then I think it won't really make any harm to remove it, Chairperson. I think those were the questions that I wanted to just comment on, but I think the other colleagues will also take over.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, you see, I'm also getting old. I don't know whether I'll be in a position to remember exactly what has happened during the consultation and before 2003. But as far as I can remember, I think Honorable Member Isidin Tuli there summed it up. It was, to sum up, it was, you know, at that time, Carmen came up with a total new vision and mission of the institution, to say they have to play a very crucial role in the new democratic state. And for that reason, it was said, all attention by traditional leaders must focus on traditional councils and their own institutions. So when you become a member somewhere of other institutions, rather relinquish your position there so that other people can focus on taking that institution forward. So that was in the main the argument that was brought forward, to say, let's be serious about the institution. So if you are involved somewhere else, you can't have 100% focus with regard to the institution. So that was the main reason, if I remember correctly, of saying it's about the seriousness, the new role. You know, if you analyze legislation, you'll actually see quite a lot of work that the institution must do in relation to the old legislation. So was that they were calling for that focus and support of the institution by the members themselves. So if you were away, they thought maybe you will have a divided attention. First, rather have a focused attention with the institution by traditional leaders themselves. So in the main, that was the background to agreeing to that position. I just wanted to say, I think Ngosi Mavhunda referred to the King's Council where he said members of houses are excluded. It's only when you are a full-time member of any house that you are excluded. Other members of houses are not excluded, being a member of the King's Council.
Questions to the Office of the State Law Advisor. My beautiful ladies there, do you agree with this interpretation of saying the CC's ruling about the Nwamitwa Baloyi case, it only affects that particular tribe only, not all tribes in the country? That's the question I want to hear from you as to whether are we singing from the same hymn book? Because from this side of the table, in front of you, we seem to speak in the same language, but I want to hear that office, that advise Parliament all the time.
Thank you, Chair. What I would say, what is good about law is that when you decide a case, you decide it on its own merits. So, really, the circumstances of each case determine that that decision has to be taken with regard to that case. You have to consider the merits of that particular case. So, it is correct to say that case only pertains to that circumstances which arose in that particular area at that particular moment. And with regard to another thing that Chair may also take advantage of and also respond to what also was mentioned by the Honorable Mavhunda, yes, with regard to Section 31 of the Constitution, I also want to draw the attention to Subsection 2 of that section. Any culture or custom which is inconsistent with the Constitution is invalid. That is based with Section 2 of the Constitution, where it says the Constitution is supremacy in this country. So anything that is inconsistent with the Constitution is invalid. So he argued that the Bill of Rights is more than the culture, along those lines of what he mentioned during the argument they had at some stage with the Bill of Rights. Section 2, subsection 2 of 31 says the rights in subsection 1 of that section 31 may not be exercised in a manner inconsistent with any provision of the Bill of Rights. The only limitation in the Bill of Rights is that it must be in terms of Section 36 of the Constitution and nothing else. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Your friend next door? Do you agree?
I do. There's nothing I can add.
Wonderful. A question to that office again. Is there any chance where headmen, because we're going to remove them from participating in the National House, we're going to remove them, in terms of the Equality Act, can they claim that there has been discriminated against them because of this particular provision if we remove them? The question directed to the Office of the State Law Advisor. Any response?
You really putting us on the spot now. I think let's just go and read the Principal Act and how it was. Otherwise, we cannot say at this point it can be removed. So let's just read the Act as it is and then see if anything can be done. Otherwise, it is more or less of a policy issue. If the department and the house, the committee, feels that it may be removed, I'm sure we can advise when we sort of put our minds and read the principal act to that.
Yeah, fortunately, all provinces except one, they're against this inclusion of headmen to participate in the house. From all the inputs we have from provinces, all of them are against it, except Darren West and Dr. Van Herden's province. that is it.
Thank you, Orange Person. I tell you, Miss Isingoni Sageti, man. Bukhona la sicala sonphekile namalungu asonphekile e-NCOP okuloko kushiwo abomnyango beloko bekhotha i-white paper bekhotha imithetho ka-2003 angikubeke la ukuthi nangaleso sikhathi amakhosi ayekwi-learning curve okwakhiwa kwalezi zindlu ngakho singeke sikhothe imithetho eyakhiwa abantu bese kwi-learning curve. Ngakho uma sakhe imithetho manje kufanele phela sichibele ngento engakhaya hange ebhidlizayo, njengoba sephalamende ichitshelwa zonke iy'nsuku imithetho ukuthi ibe imithetho ehambisana nesimo sokuphila kwabantu. Ngakho uma ngabe kungalunganga kukaphepha akususwe phela, uma kungalunganga ku-2003 fomapati akususwe phela, kungarepithwa lokukhothwa kona kambakuronge. Ngiyabonga.
Seven, that is it. Prof, can you assist us, Prof, or Bampongos, to translate what Levita was saying, so that we're taking Dr. Van Herden on board, because paralysis can understand Zulu.
Okay. No, Chair, I'll translate in Swana for the honorable member. No. No, Chair, I think the point was the issue that was raised about the history of Section 15 to the Framework Act, which talks about appointment of deputy traditional leaders when a traditional leader becomes a member of the Municipal Council, an MPL, or an MP. So the answer to that was that already in 2003 a position was taken to say that when you become a public office bearer through a political process, you can't remain a traditional leader because you need to be full-time in your community and work with your community. So the contribution by Inkosi Mavundla just now was to say we can't be harping on the policy position in 2003 if there is a need to amend it because of the current circumstances. We need to amend that. So that's the gist of what he was saying. I'm not like translating word for word. That's what he was saying.
Thank you very much. I'm aware Prof and the team, they had to catch their flight at 5, and Cape Town's traffic from here to the airport, I can tell you now, if you don't have an escort, you're a mess. Even the reps from the house as well, I know their flights have changed to five. They had to leave as well. I think we can start the discussions now here and thank everybody for this. We're meeting again this last round, the 15th. I think the 15th is